Normally, I'm with the youth or with the young adults, and I'm actually also normally up here singing with the praise team, but they gave me the gift of not being here this week. That way I could really kind of work and prepare on the message. Really appreciate that from them. And also, I just want to go ahead and tell all of you that I want to thank Glenn, because when I first approached him about preaching for this week, he was like, you know, I really do this read through the Bible sermon on the last week of the year, so let me think about that. And he came back and he said, you know what, I would love for you to do this. So I really appreciate the fact that he's given me this Sunday to get to spend time with you guys. So I'm going to go ahead and read the passage, and then we'll dive in and we'll see what God has for us. So Psalms 9, verses 1 and 2. This is David talking, and he says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. God, I just pray that you would just open it up before us now. God, that we would see you in it, and God, that you would use your word to transform and change lives today. In your name I pray these things. Amen. So what David is saying here in the beginning of Psalms chapter 9 is that he's saying, I'm going to remember what God has done. And really, this whole theme of remembering is really prevalent, not only in this psalm, it's also prevalent in all of the psalms and really in the entire rest of the Bible. Which is funny because like a lot of times you hear remembering in a negative connotation, and yet all throughout Scripture we see that God encourages us to remember Him. Remember what he has done. Remember how he has worked and moved in our lives. And really, we see all throughout the Bible that it's a good thing to remember that. And really, we also see examples in God's word of when people don't do that, like the people of Israel. They did not remember what God did, and so they encountered trial after trial after trial just because they didn't remember who he was and what he had done for them. So with that being said, I want to go ahead and do something a little different with you all today. I want to have some fun with you guys. And so we're going to look, and we're not just going to be hearers of the word today, we're going to be doers, okay? And like, if you've been here for a while, you'll hear me say this from the stage all the time. We want EAB to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And so we're just going to take a quick look, and this is going to be a flyby of 2017. Because I don't know if you know this, God's done some really cool stuff, both in us and through us, and I kind of just want to celebrate that. And then looking forward to 2018, I kind of want us to just dream of what he might do. But before we get into that, I just kind of need to say this, because there's actually a lot of you here who have never been here when I've preached, which is really cool. There's something that you need to know, just so that we can just kind of proceed on. I'm not Glenn, so if you're expecting to laugh a lot in this sermon, it's probably not going to happen. Like, I mean, Glenn's witty and corny. Guys, not now, okay? Okay, like, Glenn's very witty and corny, and like, in the 3 years I've been here, I have tried my best to put jokes and humor into a sermon, and like, for those of you who have been here for a while, you know, it just does not work. I mean, it's just like, it's a train wreck, it doesn't happen. So, but here's what I will say. So I'm not expecting a lot of laughs, but here's what I am saying. We're going to celebrate some stuff in here. And if you feel prompted to like clap or cheer because of what God's done, you probably wouldn't be out of place in doing that, okay? So I just want to give you the freedom. If you're hearing stuff that God's doing, it's like, man, that's amazing. You are allowed to clap, okay? So like, are we all on the same page? Okay. Thank you. Okay. This whole joke thing has been kind of crazy. Like Matthew and Nathan, my brother-in-laws, were sitting there a couple nights ago trying to help me come up with jokes for the sermon. They were so helpful, obviously. So 2017, as a flyby, and as I think back to 2017, one of the things that started right at the beginning of the year is that the board came to you all with really a crazy budget. I mean, we as a board, we were looking at the finances from last year, like, okay, you know what, we're just going to go out on faith, and we're just going to do something insane. And we offered you guys a budget that we just kind of thought we're just like, well, it's something to aim for. And as far as the numbers that we've been able to crunch, God has not only met that budget, he has gone far above that budget. And God's generosity through you guys has enabled this church to do stuff that we would not have been able to do. That's amazing. But the reason, Okay, so like five of you. Okay, so that's fine. You guys are warming up. Okay, so that's good. Okay, and the reason I put that one at the front is that that's normally the one that churches really focus on. Like, man, money came in. But really, as I started to like talk to people about 2017, there was a lot of stuff that happened here that just kind of makes the money. I mean, it's awesome. It's cool. God was so generous to us. But there was a lot of other stuff that happened that just made me a whole lot more excited. And I think that what you'll see as we go through this is that this whole thing is not, man, look at EAB. Man, EAB is so awesome. Man, like, we got it together. Like, we are so cool. Like, if you'll notice, I'm already saying a lot of times, like, look at what God did. So if there's anything that you get out of this entire time, this whole time in God's Word is remembering what God has done, not what we've done. Because trust me, we've made some mistakes too, and there's just not enough time in the sermon to go through all that, okay? So we're just going to focus on the good stuff and what God's done through us. But really, this year has been a year where new ministries have started. And what I love about this is that these were not ministries that were started from the top down. Like it wasn't one of the leaders going, you know what, I think we need to start this ministry, and so we just kind of pass it off on someone. Every single ministry that was really started this year was birthed out of someone just in the church saying, you know what, I just really have a heart for this area. I really want to minister to this area. And so with that being said, a second men's Bible study was started. And my schedule only allows me to go to that one. And I've seen prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer. Like crazy, insane prayers. Like the kind of prayers that you would pray and you kind of feel uncomfortable praying. Because you're just like, ooh, like, I don't know. I'm kind of getting my hopes up for that one. And yet God's just like, oh, by the way, I've already answered that even before you prayed it. Like that kind of stuff. And I've seen that happen again and again and again and again. The Lawrence Project team got started this year, and they are some of you who just have a heart. We want to see the gospel brought to Lawrence. And so they've been active in pursuing after the heart of Lawrence, been really active about being intentional in Lawrence, which is amazing. And then not too long ago, the seniors ministry was developed here specifically for some of the older people in our church, which I love because we want to be not only a multicultural church, we want to be a multi-generational church. We don't just want to be a church that's just about kids, just about teens, just about young adults, just about adults, just about older adults. We want to be about everyone because God's about everyone. And so what we see is that, like, and what's amazing is that we see this coming from the bottom up. And what's been cool is that we've seen people get passionate about these and excited about these. And we just see God's Spirit moving in this. So we've had that. We had the one of the marking points of this year is that we've probably had one of the biggest membership classes ever with like 16 people coming up, which we didn't even know where to put them all. Which is just kind of a sign of this year, God has given us growth with you all. I mean, it's so cool because like right now, even as I'm talking to you all right now, I'm seeing faces that a year ago, I didn't even know that you existed. And vice versa. And yet now I've got friends and now I've got people who I consider family here. And what's amazing even more about that is that as generous as God has been with the width, with the numbers, I've seen such a growth of the depth of people too. In this past year, I've seen some people get really honest and vulnerable. And I don't say transparent, I say vulnerable because transparent is kind of the cool thing right now. Oh, I'm transparent. Oh. Like, vulnerable is scary because you're letting your mask off. And what better place to be able to let your mask off than in church and with people who love you. I mean, and I've had some conversations with people this past year where they're like, you know what, I've just kind of come to the conclusion, I don't know if I'm a Christian. Like, I thought I was my entire life, but now it's like I just feel like I'm putting on a show. That's vulnerable. And that's awesome, because what better place to ask those kind of questions than church? And even in that Bible study I mentioned earlier, I mean, we have guys sharing prayer requests, and we are going to battle over things that might really hurt. And yet it's been amazing to see God just answer that vulnerability with love and compassion through you all. And finally, there was one thing that really just kind of set this year apart in my mind, and I wanted to end with this, and that is the Lawrence Ox Roast. And I would guarantee you that probably half of you in this room don't even know what I'm talking about, because like people have just come and said them. But here's just a little history. Every year, our church has participated in the Ox Roast in some way, and in around May or June, God just really kind of started to put it on the hearts of some of us. It's like, you know what? We feel like Jesus would be more serving than participating in this. And so we just kind of scratched our heads like, well, how can we serve the town of Lawrence? So we went to them and we said, hey, how can we serve you guys? And right off the bat, they said, we need help with the kids' games. And like with what we had heard from other people, I mean, and they were very open and honest with us. They're like, if you do the kids' games, no one's going to want to help you. Like, maybe a couple people will, but like, people get burned out on this. It's a trap. It's toxic, but this is what we need help with. Absolutely. And so, I mean, of course, we're like, oh, well, that sounds like the best option, of course. But, and so we're just kind of like, but we felt at peace about it. And so we just stepped in and said, yes, we will do that. And then we started crunching the numbers. And if you want some advice, make sure you crunch the numbers before you make the decision, not after the decision. Because as we started to crunch the numbers, we realized that we were running about 80 to 85 average on a Sunday. We realized that we would need 40 slots filled to serve at this thing and to fill all the positions. Now, if you look at like church statistics and how that kind of stuff works out, that's crazy. To have 50% of your church show up to serve at an event, not just participate. And then we just happen to forget that out of the 80% out of the 80 people on a Sunday, 20 of them happen to be kids who we weren't having help. So that was actually 2/3 of our church had to help show up, serve at an event. And I just remember so clearly sitting in Glenn's office, just looking at him going, this is going to take a miracle. We have totally overextended ourselves on this. And with the couple of weeks up to the Ox Roast, schedule after schedule after schedule was changed and bended. Vacations were cut short, and God just worked through you all in such a way that by the time we got there and we had prayed over it, we said, God, we want you to do something crazy here. We want you to open up gospel conversations with Lawrence. There was not one moment in that weekend where a kid was sitting there and couldn't play a game because someone was not there to help them. Fully staffed. Like, yeah, that's awesome. And like, the numbers just don't line up with that. Like, we should not have been able to do that numerically wise. Like, schedules should not have matched up. And really, as we're looking back at this, it kind of makes you wonder. Like, what if what God has done is not as great as what he's about to do? In the age that we live in with like the cynicism around, like it's natural for me to be like, well, like, man, 2017 was a great year. It's all downhill from here. I mean, like, yeah, it was a great year, woo! And yet, really, like, what's not to say that this year was just the starting point? Well, what's not to say that the big thing is a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? And I was having a conversation with the board a couple weeks ago, and I just kind of told them, and I'll tell you, unless God just leads Andrew and I somewhere else, and it's just clear, like, we're here. Like you guys are us, we are you, we love you guys, we want to be here, we want to see this church grow into something that is on fire for the kingdom and is just blazing a path for Jesus out into Van Buren County. But then I kind of just ask him, like, what do you want this church to be? And that's what I want to ask you this morning. What do you want this church to be? 1 year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what do you think God wants this church to be? And so it's just kind of started me dreaming about what this church could be. And just think, man, like, what if God's just warming up so that as we approach into 2018, man, we just take off like a bullet and we're just going with the power of God. And so I've been thinking about that the past month, like, okay, like, what does that look like practically? Like what does that look like for us to really believe that what God has done is not as great as what he's about to do? And really just kind of looking at different Bible passages and really looking at the church throughout the New Testament just to kind of get some basis. I kind of came away with four ideas that is really my dream for us, and I mean us, in 2018. And that's in 2018, EAB continues, because I am seeing such growth in so many areas. I'm just like giddy when I like sit down with staff meetings. It's like this person's growing, and like this ministry is doing great, and like these people are coming. It's like, oh, it's so cool. But so EAB continues to become a church that gathers together, grows together, gives together, and goes out together. So for all of you Baptists out there, that's my Christmas present to you. 4 points, all start with G. So there you go. See, I still try to do jokes, and they still don't work, but that's okay. So like, where am I getting this gathers, grows, gives, and goes out? Well, the first one is that EAB would be a church that gathers together. And I'm getting that out of Acts 2, 42 through 47. And if you've been here for a while and you've heard me preach, you're like, oh, Josh, this verse again? Like, you do this one like every other time you preach. Yeah, because this is what I'm aiming for. Like, this is what I want our church to be, because I've never met a human being who would not want to be part of this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And as we look really throughout the rest of Acts and throughout the rest of the New Testament, the church just loved coming together. And that's what we're doing right now. I don't know what you know about church. The building that you're in right now is not church. You are church. The people is church. And a group of people that comes together and just enjoys gathering together. So what does that look like practically? Like in 2018, what would EAB look like if we continued growing in our ability to gather together? And really, as you look through the New Testament, you'll see that there were three really big things that every time they gathered together that they would do. And that was, they would read God's word, they would pray, and they would worship. And those are just three elements that in 2018, we want to make sure every single one of our gatherings on Sunday morning does. Like that's one of the reasons why Glenn and I preach from the Bible. We just don't get up and like, well, my opinion on this day's topic is this. Like, no, we don't do that. We preach from authority. We preach from God's word. That would be crazy if we just hopped up and gave our own opinion, which actually I'm going to do a little later on in the service. See, this is when you go off script, but anyways. But we also want to be, we want to create moments during every single service where you are allowed time to pray. Because in the chaos of this world, you should have time to pray as we come together as the M Church. And then finally, worship. We want to create a moment. That's why we sing. That's why we praise. That's why we give. We're worshiping God. So practically, in 2018, every single one of our gatherings together on Sunday morning is going to have something. It's going to have God's word being proclaimed. It's going to have moments of worship. And it's going to have time to pray. But it's not just the gathering, it's also growing together. And I'm getting that out of Matthew 28, 19, and 20. And if you've been in church a long time, you'll know, hey, that sounds like the Great Commission, and you're right. It's just, in my experience, we've really kind of focused in on the first half, and we've kind of missed the second half. So here's what Matthew 28 says. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And here's something that I've just noticed as I've gotten to travel around the United States and just get to interact with other churches. A lot of churches are really good at focusing on that first one, on the gathering. Like, they are keyed in on Sunday morning. Like, that is, they have got that. And yet, this concept of growing together is really kind of lost. Let me give you an example. If you have gotten a chance to meet me, and if you know me any much, I'm just going to go ahead and say right now that any, like, good aspect or attribute of me goes to my mom and dad's credit. Okay? So, like, anything that you're just like, man, I really like that about Josh. Not me, them. They're the ones who, like, fixed this. Okay? If there's a quality of me where you're just like, that could change, that's me. Okay? Like that's still, like, the me showing out. All right? And God. So, I'm like, God worked on me too, obviously. But like, let's just say, for example, that, that you knew of a young couple that had just found out that they were pregnant. And let's say that they're part of our church. And so we're all really excited about it. We're like praying for them, praying that the pregnancy is going to go well. Like we're all excited. And we finally find out that the baby has come and it's born. And it's like, oh, this is so exciting. This is so cool. And then they show up on church on Sunday. And there's no baby. And we're all like, where's the baby? And the couple goes, well, you know, I don't know. And we were really focused on them when they weren't here, but now that they're here, I mean, did we leave them at home? Are they out in the car? I don't know. They're kind of just doing their own thing. Like, we would consider that crazy, right? Okay, I got like one nod. Like, is that normal to you guys? That's crazy, right? Okay. We were about to have another sermon. Okay, so anyways, like, that's crazy. And yet, how often is that how we view evangelism and discipleship? We focus so much on praying for someone to get saved, and then as soon as they get saved, it's like, okay, well, have fun. And the whole idea of teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you has totally been lost. And this is an area where I want to see our church grow in this idea of growing together. Discipleship. Leaning in and saying, hey, you know what? You've just gotten saved. Let me walk alongside you. Now, just like fact-finding, did it take, so like parents in the room, did it take like 1 year to like train your kids to do everything that they need to do? I'll take that as a no, okay? And yet some people are like, oh man, I've been discipling someone for 6 months. They're ready to go. It's like, what? That's crazy. Like that's 2 years, 3 years. Some people like disciple people for a lifetime. And yet that's how we grow. So practically, what does that look like? How do we grow along with them? Well, Jesus said, teaching them all that I've commanded you. What did he command us? What did he say was the greatest commandments? Love God, love others. He says all of the Old Testament depends on this. And so how do we do that here at EAB? And I would suggest in our small groups, in our Sunday school classes, because here's the thing. How do you learn how to love others? You get around them. And then don't think that, like, I know that all of my introverts aren't like, ugh, but they're people. Ugh. No, like, you've got to get around people. How else are you going to grow to love them? You've got to get to know them. You've got to hear their hurts. You've got to hear their fears. You've got to hear their victories. And then you've got to get together with them and lean in and say, man, I want to travel with you on this. I want to teach you more about Jesus. And like, why do you think that we have curriculums for our classes? Why do you think that Dave leads a certain curriculum in the adult class? Why do you think that I have a certain curriculum? Because we want to teach you how to love God more. We want to get you into his word and see how awesome he is and how much he loves you and what he's done for you. As we see that, our love for him grows. So practically, we want to focus on not only the Sunday gathering in 2018, we want to focus on small groups. We want to focus on Sunday schools. We want to focus on training you. We don't want you to be baby Christians. I mean, we don't really even want you to be teenage Christians. We want you to be like grown up, adult, mature, ready to go out and make disciples. And that's what we want for this year. What would that look like if in 2018 we became a church that really practically grew together? And then third, giving together. And I don't have time to go through this, but the short version of this is that Paul is at a church, he's preaching, and he's collecting an offering for another church. And Paul looks around and he's like, this church is poorer than the church I'm taking the offering for. Well, that's going to be awkward. I just want to ask for an offering. And he's about to leave, and the church is like, excuse me, sir, you haven't taken the offering yet. And also, I have yet to be in a service where someone was like, Glenn, you didn't take the offering yet. Just haven't been in that service yet. Okay? So, and yet why? This church understood everything they had was God's. And they were just eager to give. And like, don't think I don't know that like this idea of giving just kind of makes some people like, oh boy, here it comes. The money thing supposed to give, and like, no. Like, I mean, like, yes, God does want your money because it's technically his anyways. I mean, he wants to make sure that he has all of you. But man, maybe this is the year that you need to give of your energy, of your time. So, Bible over there, opinion over here, okay? Just want to clarify. What would this practically look like? This is something that Andrew and I were counseled on when we first got married, so I didn't come up with this. So if you're like, that's a great idea, I stole it, okay? But what we will do every year is at the beginning of the year during winter break, we will go out. We're actually going to do this week. We will go out for a day, and we'll just have fun. We'll go out breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We'll do some shopping. We will do our best to not eat off the dollar menu for this day. And I know that half of you are like, there's a dollar menu. And I know the other half are like, there's something other than the dollar menu. But like, okay, so like, we will do our best and we will just go and we'll just have fun. We'll do some shopping. But there's a purpose to this day. Because we'll look back at 2017 like, okay, like, did we honor God with our finances? How can we change this? Did we honor God with our time? How can we change this? Did we honor God with our energy? Can we change this? And we just make a day set aside where we can focus and see, okay, where can we see that we can give more? And like, just think about that. If you just took one day aside, like, okay, God, where do you want me to give this next year? Maybe I've never given to the church. Maybe that's just been something that we just haven't been able to do budget-wise, but I kind of see it in God's word, so maybe we should start tithing this year, which I would encourage because it is a biblical concept. Or maybe it's just like, you know what? We just haven't been spending a lot of time. Like, yeah, we go to the gathering on Sunday, but we don't really do anything else. Maybe we should get involved in a small group. And so let me just say this. If you're thinking like, well, maybe God doesn't want me to give anything. Maybe I would err on the side of he probably wants you to give something, okay? So I'm not going to tell you no. I'm just going to tell you like 99% no, okay? Like there's probably something that God wants you to give. And like what would that look like if our church just all got on that mindset of what does God want us to give for 2018, for all of it? And then finally, we be a church that goes together. And this is like, this is one of my favorite verses in the entire Old Testament. It comes out of Zechariah 8, 20 and 23. Because here's the thing. The first three things I've talked about, gathering together, growing together, and giving together, all fall short of the Great Commission. Because we can do all three of those things and never leave here. We need to go out. Zechariah 8, 20 through 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Yeah, that's awesome. That is what we should be like in 2018. Paul would say it this way in 2 Corinthians, you are the aroma of Christ. When you walk into a room, there should just be something like, whoa, what's up with that person? Like, let me. And as we go out from the gathering, from the growing times, from the giving times, are we the aroma of Christ? I was with a group of friends quite a while back, and they weren't doing anything wrong, just we were being a little rowdy and loud. And someone in the group said, man, like I think we should kind of calm down, guys, while we're getting a little rowdy. And someone else in the group said, oh, don't worry, no one knows that we're Christians here. I'm not kidding. That is not okay. Like, at all. The mindset should be, man, do they know that we're Christians? Am I showing Jesus enough in how I talk and how I act that they can just tell, man, something's up with this person? So really, like, even kind of combining all these together, what would a church, practical, today, what would a church look like that gathers, grows, gives, and goes out together in the way that the churches in the Bible do? And I just, this just came to my mind, it was just like so prominent. The church in China, communist China, is one of the most persecuted churches on the face of the planet. And yet they are growing at a rate that defies all reality. I mean, like, they are just growing. And here's the other thing. If you had any church that shouldn't do these four things, realistically, it should be the church in China. Like, them gathering together puts a bigger target. Like, you do realize that the fact that they gather together makes it obvious that they're getting together for some reason, and that will bring the authorities on them. And yet they do it because they enjoy reading God's word. They enjoy prayer. They enjoy worship, and they know how vital and important it is. And they're not being forced to do it. They just do it because they realize we need this. We need God in our lives. We need to gather together. David Platt, one of the authors of Radical, went over there on a mission trip, and he came to one of these house churches, and he could tell that they wanted to ask him a question, but they weren't sure. So he said, "Well, what? Please ask me." And they're like, "Will you teach us?" Going back to growing, not just being babies, but growing. He's like, "Well, sure. Like, what do you want me to teach you?" And they said, "The Old Testament." So he did, for an entire day, just sat down and just taught them the Old Testament while they're gathered in a little basement surrounding one candle, because they wanted to grow. At the end of the day, Platt is completely exhausted, and he can tell they want to ask him something else, and so he's like, well, what is it, guys? And they said, well, we did the Old Testament. There's another one. And the next day he came back and for hour upon hour upon hour taught them the whole New Testament, flyby. Because they were so hungry. They're like, we don't want to stay where we're at knowledge. We want to grow. And yet, like, why would they do that? They could get caught. Spending that much time in one spot, it's putting a target on their chest. These people will give of their time to be at these churches when their time means that someone's going to notice that they're not there. They will give of their money just so that they can have a place to get together, that they can get Bibles on the black market because they can't get it otherwise. They will put out their energy because they're running all the time. And yet they are gladly giving because they know this is better And finally, going out, how do you think the church in China is expanding so rapidly? It's not because they're all housed up in their basements. It's because as they go out, there is such an aroma about them that is Jesus that people are just like, I need to find out what's going on with that person. And like right now, the government cannot stop them. Like, it's like they have tried everything they can, and it's like they kill someone, 10 more pop up. Like, that is a church that understands that God's power is behind them. A church that gathers together, grows together, gives together, and goes out together. So what if? What if what God has done in 2017 is not as great as what he is going to do in 2018? And let me just leave you with this. Jesus made some incredible promises about his church when he was here on earth. And one that just really just kind of catches me, which is so cool, is he's talking to Peter and he says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. That is you all, the church. And Jesus is saying, the gates of hell, like, and you realize that gates are defensive, right? That means who's on the offensive? We are. The gates of hell are defensive. That means that we are on the offensive. And as we proclaim the gospel, the church in China is actively pushing back darkness. Why? Because people are getting saved and people are seeing the love of Jesus. What would happen if EAB was like that? If we gathered together, if we grew together, if we gave together, if we went out together in 2018, and people were just like, what is up with that church? Like, they just love Jesus. Like, I can't get away from them. Like, it's just everywhere. I'm kind of interested in that. And it's just amazing to just think, what could happen? And so looking in 2018, I don't know what God has for us. I have no idea. But what if what God has done is not as great as what he's going to do? Let's pray. Father, you are good. You give good gifts to your kids. And Lord, we just thank you that you have been active and moving in our church in 2017. And Lord, I just pray right now with anticipation that you are not done with us, that 2017 was not just some big one-off, but that this year is the start of something. And God, let us lean into you. God, we just confess that everything that we've just celebrated is not us. Lord, you have used us, and we are grateful for that. But Lord, we just confess that it is not us who have done anything, but Lord, it's all you. And Lord, as we enter into 2018, would we lean into you, and would we become a church that celebrates you in the gathering, that grows and makes more disciples because we love you, that gives passionately because we understand that you have given to us, and that goes out because we want everyone to know about who you are, because you are the best. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In your name we pray these things. Amen.